Blog Talk Radio.
Body, Mind, Spirit Radio, your live connection to the information for a healthy body, an enlightened mind, and a renewed spirit.
Good morning, everyone. Today is January 26th, 2016, and welcome to Finding the One with your host, Barbara White. Barbara returns to Body, Mind, Spirit Radio under a new name discussing relationships, spiritual partnerships, inspirational teachings, and more. I know she has a lot to share with you today, but I do want to remind listeners that if you have a question about today's topic, feel free to ask in the chat room or to call into the show at 646-378-0370, and that number again is 646-378-0378. And now I give you your wonderful host, Barbara White.
Hello, everyone. Thank you for tuning in today. And yes, the radio show has had some transition, as well as myself. Do you know what transition is? Probably have never experienced it in your life, right? Like the change or things moving, things rocking, things rolling. Transition seems to be the word of the day for a lot of my clients, and it's a good thing, right? We want to grow. We want to become more ourselves. So today I am talking about Finding the One, which is the title of my upcoming fourth book, and this will be the one and only show on that topic. So if you have questions about relationship, you have questions about what is real intimacy, you have questions about why don't I have a sense of body connection or libido in my body, if you have questions about romance, this is what Finding the One is, a powerful, life-changing book. I wish to God I would have had it when I first started dating 7 years ago. I still would have needed to find the truths within my own being about love, about intimacy, about sexuality, about really what is real conscious communication, what is real spiritual partnership. I would have needed to discover those truths within myself, as you do as well, but it would have been a great guidepost. And so today is about finding the one. And then proceeding after this month, the show will change names for the last time to Calling All Leaders and Healers. And that name came to me in deep meditation, those days of meditating, and how important that was, that to call all leaders and healers. So a leader is not someone that is above anyone, or a leader is someone that is a servant. The greatest leader is the greatest servant. I believe that is a quote from Gandhi. I could be misquoting, but as far as my data shows, that the greatest leader is the greatest servant. Or, as Christ said, that the last shall go first. Now, why is that? Because when the greatest leader is the greatest servant, or the last shall go first, it doesn't mean playing small. It doesn't mean being mediocre. It actually means the opposite. It means that when you, the last shall go first, it means you have broken the agreements with the physical 3D world, where you are truly in the world and not of it. Or another way of saying that is you're able to do simultaneous awareness. Do you know what simultaneous awareness is? Simultaneous awareness is when you're able to notice you're sad or mad or angry or thinking about something, and at the same time have an abiding peace. The opposite of that is where some people have good days and bad days. So some days you're just on top of the world, you're like, yes! And then the next day it's like, oh, where did this come from? Where did this issue come from? And you have this, and that's a beginning stage of waking up to the truth of your being, waking up to the brilliance, the beauty, the wisdom, the intelligence that you truly are, that I truly am, that we all are. And so simultaneous awareness, or the last shall go first, or a third way of saying that is the greatest leader is the greatest servant. So starting in next month, Calling All Leaders and Healers. And I will have different people that I'm really, they've inspired me. They've changed me. They have rocked my paradigm world. Those folks I'm going to be bringing on, some of really amazing people. Some you may know, and until I get the dates and such, look for that. It's going to be absolutely fantastic. So the calling all leaders, and then the second word, healers. The idea that we can even be a healer is kind of funny to me. Yes, it's funny. I said it. Because we're already healed. We're already whole. We're already complete. And really, a healer is someone that is more of a tuning fork to another human being. They're reminding the person of possibility. And so a healer is somebody that's more of a tuning fork. Because if somebody says they can give something to you, they can take it away. Likewise, if they say that they have something that you don't and you believe them, which is really the cornerstone of most relationships, I have something you don't, and you have to get it from me, whether that be approval or security or a sense of worthiness or sexiness, right? That's how most relationships are. Most relationships are a trade agreement for love. And so moving into the topic of this radio show, finding the one, that the one, of course, is within you, that any dream you have is about your soul's becoming. It's not about acquiring. It's not about acquisition. It's not about consuming. And in fact, the misunderstanding of what desire really means, desire means of the Father love, God, Spirit. So we've been infiltrated and infected with original sin. We've been infiltrated and infected with misunderstandings of what desire or dreams are really about. And then we subjugate ourselves to a lower reality and compromise our true dreams and desires. It's a big deal for people to admit that they have compromised. It was a big deal for me to admit that I'd compromised. Part of this evolution of finding the one was I had already had quite a following of students and clients, hundreds, and like I do today, and had been a tuning fork for many. I had already been offered without asking 10 years ago to write in Chicago Health and Fitness Times, Body, Mind, Spirit Guide, been offered later on the radio show, but I didn't even ask. These things just came to me. Because it really is true, when you have something to say, the microphone will show up. You don't have to go looking for it. Some of the things I have coming up for Calling All Leaders and Healers, I could not have made happen. It was through my deep surrender to my heart and to my devotion to be love and give love in all areas of my life that it showed up. So, finding the one came from 7 years ago when I went from leaving my partner that I had for 25 years, a partnership of 9 years, and decided to start dating. It was insane. 22 years ago, or is it 20 years ago, about my spiritual teacher and hero and mentor said I was going to hell because I was bisexual. And that started my journey. That started my journey because for a year, even though I could hear and see God, I had paradigm blindness. You know what that is, paradigm blindness? Paradigm blindness is when you experience love, you see the in a child's eyes, or you have a different experience than what your belief system is. But because it's different than your belief system or your paradigm, you don't integrate it. It's more like, somebody says, oh, I had this amazing experience 5 years ago, and the sky opened up, and it was so wonderful, it was so great. But there's no integration, there's no embodiment. That's a paradigm blindness. This is to be able to really integrate insights into your body, into your being, you have to have a spiritual practice. You have to have a meditation practice. You got to be able to clear the static on the line, fear, doubt, and worry. And you have to be able to direct your mind. You have a choice, right, to be pulled by a vision or pain. You have a choice, depending on how you stabilize your structures of your body, your mind, and your emotions. So, 22 years ago, I was told by my hero and mentor I was going to hell. I was 20. And for a year and a half, I could see and feel God saying, you are loved, Barbara. You are loved. Couldn't accept it. Fast forward now, 17 years later, sexuality, again, became my great teacher. Sexuality and self-acceptance. Because, you know, the paradox is that we accept our humanity, we realize our divinity. And then we go to the third level of understanding and realizing that humanity is God. that the every ordinary life is God. St. Francis knew that, right? St. Francis would continue, I mean, he was uneducated, and that every ordinary life was the expression of his soul. We're so afraid of the ordinary, right? We think it has to be so spectacular and a big lightning bolt from the sky, when God is constantly speaking to us through the ordinary, through the everyday. Did you know that? I think you do. But good to be reminded, right? I need reminders every day. I study spiritual study at least a half an hour every morning, because I too can get hypnotized by believing that you need to consume something, that love is outside of you, that the one is in somebody. Check out my article for February. It does capture some of the essence of finding the one. And, of course, read all the other amazing articles in Body, Mind, Spirit Guide. Michigan has such a wealth of incredible healers. So, I circle back again. 7 years ago, I had never dated men, you see. And so here I am. Let's see, what would that place my age at? 33. Never dated men. Never dated. And yet I had education, degrees, a deep understanding of God and intuition. I wasn't starting from square one, but this part of me was starting from square one. So I feel I've really gained some unique insights. It's like I was experiencing dating, sexuality, intimacy with the eyes of a child. I didn't know that men would shut down their emotions and how that, I never experienced that. I didn't know that sexuality was my life force, and that women are afraid to let it run through their body because of genetic programming and because they've been taught that sexuality, their sexual life force, has something to do with sex. Your life force, your libido, has nothing to do with sex, dear one. Nothing. I mean, it has a little bit. I can't say nothing. But it's a tiny part. I didn't know of the huge paradigm and effect, and I'll speak to men in a moment, but effect on women, that the lover, the goddess, and the sexy vixen have been separated. Marianne Woodman, a famous Jungian therapist, she calls this the goddess and the whore have been separated, the Mother Mary and the Mary Magdalene. You know, Mary Magdalene was never a prostitute. That was invented by a pope in the 1960s. There's no historical evidence of that, by the way. So the seven-year process of really understanding what is sexuality, what is libido, what is intimacy, I came up with some really fantastic ways of explaining it. The book has spiritual teachings, and then it has suggestions for applications, and then dating quips. The dating quips came from one of my teachers, Ricky Byers Beckwith. Ricky Byers, if you don't know who she is an amazing singwriter, singer and songwriter. There we go. Singer and songwriter, and she's a spiritual teacher, and I believe she has a doctorate in something. I'm not for sure whether it's spiritual philosophy or music. Her music's been played around the world. She's kind of like this underground genius. You can look her up, Ricky Byers Beckwith. I Feel Like Letting Go is the one that you hear played in all different churches of all different denominations. So she's got quite an influence in the religious and spiritual world, kind of like an underground influence, kind of like the way the feminine is, you know. It, like, influences all things. It keeps all things sustained, and yet it's hiding. And feminine, I do not mean gender. I mean the qualities of connection to the earth, your emotional awareness, connection to your body, understanding the value of community, all things that are the feminine aspect of life, or yin aspect. Anyways, so when I met Ricky Byers Beckwith a few times, so I've gotten to know her over the years, not close like friends, but close like colleagues, close like a student, and I don't want to infer anything that's not real. But in my interactions with her, she would say these phrases that would just rock me. And they were really short and quick. And she used to be, she's worked in Motown. She's got that sassy fire that just comes forward. Like, she saw everybody coming for, instance, give you a sense of Ricky. Last meditation retreat, I had the honor and privilege of helping to co-create a song with her. We got to sing it back to her. She was creating the song. We got to sing it back and watch her birth the song. It was such an amazing, amazing event. So as we were doing that, all of us were around the piano, and there was about 10, 12 of us, and everyone was kind of being shy, like not, you know, getting close to each other. And she looked us all in the eye, and she says, "It's not about making friends. It's about God meeting God." And then she went on to her song. And, of course, when God meets God, or the love in me bows to love in you, or the unique expression of God that I am bows to the unique expression of you, then we ultimately become even a deeper energy than friends. Kind of like, again, the same thing in romance and relationship. When you're still trying to bond with somebody through the personality, you don't have a real relationship. You have a trade agreement for love. So when the God in her, she said, "Don't try to make friends. Just the God in you, greet the God in the other person. God meeting God," she said. It shifted the whole energy of the group, and everybody opened up. See, everyone was trying to bond through their personalities. I don't know if you know this, but you're not your personality. No, you didn't know that? I think we're continually unlearning that, right? Process of becoming who we are is a process of letting go. And that's why self-love is so scary. It's breaking your false agreements, your false identifications. So finding the one has these dating quips that were inspired by Ricky Byers-Beckwith. And they're like they're like a spiritual Sex in the City. And I didn't hold back. I said everything. Because I really wanted people to understand that you can be actualized in many areas of your life and still have parts of you that are growing. See, we have such a linear, dualistic way of looking at life, right? Like, I remember this, and when I say this client, this is probably like four or five people's different stories. Now, more like, five, six, seven. I say 10. I can think of 10 people that this one story is true. So this person is really good at their profession, really good. I'm thinking of a teacher. She's a really good teacher. But when she comes home, she has trouble being that same person to her kids. In fact, she's like the opposite of the understanding, nurturing, guiding teacher that she is. She's a teacher that's won awards. But when she comes home with her kids, she's something else. And she's so, I remember this one particular client that was a teacher, but this, again, this story, I'm thinking of another client that was really good at her profession as a lawyer and then came home and had trouble being a wife. I'm thinking of this man that was an incredible, he was a pilot, just very, very, could handle situations like life and death situations, but then the smallest thing would set him off with his kids, his anger. So there's these contrasts within us that we don't think it should, or I think of the clergy I've worked with, that they have these incredible connections to God, but then when we start talking about connection to the body and to the earth and to their food and to their emotions, there's a split there. So we all have these splits in us. If you're in physical form, you have a split. And I'm not talking about your butt crack. And so you have a split, as you realize the truth of your being, you realize you let go of what you think you are. You realize your wholeness, right? You're less splintered. So this mom, she would come home and be this different self, but because it was so like going from a hot room to a cold room, she couldn't make peace with that. And so it was so shameful. You know, she'd hide it from her awareness. In fact, she wasn't even aware of it until we started working together. Because anything we're ashamed of, we hide from ourselves. That's why acceptance is a function of awareness. Or another way of saying that is you don't realize what you're really doing until you have awareness or acceptance. Forgive them, Father. They know not what they do. See, when we're in shame or self-attack, we aren't fully aware of what we're doing. We may say we are, but we're not. And again, that's not to dismiss the incredible pain and suffering on the planet and what people are doing to people or to animals. But remembering that more hate and violence will produce more hate and violence. And we have to remember that God can take a very dark, our awareness, love, God, Spirit can take a very dark situation and turn it into something good. If we remain the tuning fork, right? If we hold the vision. We are the tuning forks. We are the vision. We are the miracle we are the way in which the miracle shows up. It's being able to look out into the world but hold that vision, be a tuning fork, and do that for others. So this mother, she had that split, and it took a while for her to heal it and see it. And I had a split. So I was a very good spiritual teacher, very good therapist, but I hadn't learned how to really be with a man. The specific piece of me is be with a man in romance. So it was quite a learning process. The dating quips have the spiritual sex and the city story in them. And then there is chapters on spiritual teachings around intimacy, love, and really sovereignty, autonomy. That's a big topic in relationship, right? Because the biggest thing that people say after divorce, and I've worked with hundreds of people, I've split been through relationship, through divorces, is they say, I lost myself. You know, why does that happen? Well, this is going to be, I really feel that, you know, some people say it's higher, but at least 90% of relationships are codependent. How do you know your relationship is codependent? Well, you ask yourself, when your loved one is sad, are you happy? Now, I know that might have struck a nerve with you. What I mean is that you can't be sad enough to make a sad one happy. You can have compassion for them. You can even have empathy. The number one distraction in spiritual growth is worrying about another. Worry is prayers to the devil, right, Bob Marley? But when you think you're worrying about another, you're distracted. You're focusing, you're thinking that that person needs to change or heal for you to be happy. Or you have some teachings that suffering is holy. Your mind, separate from God, ego mind, will convince you that it's almost mean or bad to be happy when your loved one is hurting, or to be aligned in hope and joy and wisdom and intelligence when your loved one is struggling. Don't think this is true? Well, I have thousands of session hours that will contradict your thought on this. If you're saying, no. the number one thing I work in session is about relationship, but it's a person that they worry about, the person they feel responsible for, their partner, their mom, their dad, their children. And they're literally, because we create our own suffering, they're creating the situation to keep them distracted from their own alignment. Now, again, this is different. This sounds harsh, I know, but it really is that knowing that we can be a tuning fork. How do we be a tuning fork? Do we do that through? Now, I'm not discounting emotions, right? Emotions are very important. Feeling is healing. And if you have sadness or grief or anger that comes up when your loved one's hurting or the state of the world, be with that. It can crack your heart open to the next level of you. But holding that vision, being a tuning fork for the planet, for your loved one, for your partner, wouldn't you want that? When you're sad or hurting, wouldn't you want a partner that can stay aligned within himself or herself and hold that energy of possibility and know that you're not your story, you're not your illness, you're not this condition, that your soul is greater than the circumstance? Wouldn't you want a partner or a friend to hold that vision for you? Would you want your friend to join you in your illusion, to join you in your belief that you're your condition, you're your illness or situation? No, you wouldn't want that for a friend, right? Now, if you think that's love, though, I know it's the same situation where when men and women say, well, I don't think he loves me because he's not jealous or he's not trying to control me. Because we will take the form of love we experienced as a child, right, and bring that to our relationships. So if you think love is someone who hurts with you or suffers with you, yeah, you may be one that's offended by someone being aligned and holding a vision for you. You may confuse it that they don't care. But I'm talking about a caring or a love that goes beyond and yet includes the personality. It's so common. I have men and women, and I'd say about 60-70% men in my work, men, women. Gender schmender, anyways. So 60-70% women identified bodies. And as they start to hit a point in their growth, instead of going into expressing their gifts and their talents, they turn their attention to changing their husband or changing their partner. And the reason is we really don't believe that we can be ourselves and be loved. We believe that if we fully give that inward permission to become more ourselves, he will leave us, or he won't show up if you're single. There's a holding back. I talk about it in many of the chapters and how to unwind it and finding the one. There's a holding back in relationship and in single people, incredibly. Almost like I'm going to be this false self so that you can love me, but I'm not going to really give a complete permission to my brilliance, to who I am, to the life I want to be living, because I'm going to wait till you show up. The greatest predictor of tomorrow is how you're living today. Again, I can think of many clients and students I've worked with where they knew this on some level, but then when the person showed up, they found a way to recreate the same obsession and worry when they were single within the relationship. Right? Whatever you're practicing today, you're going to do in the relationship. That's what I was talking about earlier, about being able to stabilize an insight. That if the partner came now and you hadn't stabilized it, you weren't miracle ready, then you would just find a way to recreate the same stuff that you're living now as a single person. Or if you're in relationship and you think he has to change or she has to change, they have to start looking at their health, they got to be more spiritual, blah, 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 before you can really give your inward permission. Let's say that person does change and you didn't shift that paradigm within you. You'd find somebody else to focus on or something else. I've done it. I know I've done it. There's a prayer that one of my clients gave me the other day. Really, just an amazing woman. She's done a lot of great work with. She was growing and came out of a, quite a depression and trauma from family, trauma from previous relationships. And by the way, we're all traumatized. We're all disassociated and we're all traumatized. And that's not being negative. I really know that there's great possibility and that incredible good is happening. But if you just look at the way we deny the individual to themselves, our structure of our education, the structure of our medicine, we all have trauma, and we're all kind of disassociated from our bodies. We're all occupying the upper chakras. Not many people occupy the lower energy centers. So anyways, this client, she's done a lot of work, and then she decided to work with women in trauma and kids, and just an amazing woman. And we had done a lot of work on her understanding that she's only responsible for her own happiness, that she can have her sovereign, autonomous self and with her current husband. And gosh, such great changes have happened within her and within the relationship. She can have her sexy vixen and be a wife, that it's not separate, that love and sexuality are not separate. So all sorts of things she's learned. And she said this to me, this quote, and she said I could quote her, which is, I learned one simple prayer in all this. And I said, yeah, what is it? She said, God bless them, change me. Did you hear that? God bless them, change me. If you happen to have your husband, your wife, your partner, or you're single and you're obsessing about finding somebody, just God bless that, or God bless them, change me. Because anything you want in this world is about you letting it out within you. And it's a process, and there's steps, and there's reasons why we hold it back. I just touched on one. I go into the other six reasons in the book. So there's a study that used to baffle scientists. They would take a tree, and they'd plant it in a big container of dirt. And the tree would grow and grow and grow, and it would become a tree. And then after it got to a full, like not a full tree, like 50 feet, but at least 10 feet, I believe. It was somewhere, a full tree. They would then take the tree out. I know, poor tree. But they'd take the tree out, and they would weigh the dirt. Do you know what they found? That the same amount of dirt that went in the first time was what was left. That the tree grew out of nothing. That the seed contained all the encoding that it needed to become a tree. The dirt weighed the same. You are like a seed. You have all the encoding within you. But you have to stop looking for it in a lover and a mate and a warm body and your loved one to change, for conditions and circumstances to change, for your current life situation to change. You have to begin to look inward and ask, what wants to emerge through me? What wants to be born? Remember that every problem is a new way of looking at yourself that wants to be found. Every problem is a new way of that wants to emerge in you. There is a solution to every problem. We just have paradigm blindness. When I was in natural health school 10 years ago, well, wait a minute, not 10 years ago. Time is so weird. 14 years ago? 15? 15. Anyways. I saw videos about, I'm just going to say the big one of, you know, the big illness that everyone's worried about. I saw Supreme Court videos of it being healed 12 times by Dr. Hoxie. Did you know, my teacher, Michael Beckwith, he talks about a friend that he has. So this is a direct person he knows that invented this thing that turns landfills into fuel. And in Sweden, they have turned all their garbage into fuel. And they now have contracts to buy garbage from China. Right. And that kind of, it's hard for it to think, just really let that integrate. There are solutions already there. There are solutions in your life. The answers are already there. It's just you have to let it open up in your seed, in your being. You have to become the oak. There's already a cure for, you know, the big one, and there's already a solution to pollution. And even with the supposed water shortage, did you know that there's a plant that can convert polluted water into healthy water? Again, when we believe in lack, when we believe it's outside of ourselves, it keeps us distracted from our own brilliance, from our own magnificence, keeps us distracted from looking within. There are so many distractions. And, of course, romance and partners I have found in my world in the seven-year journey, that was a big distraction. You know, everything came easy to me until then. I was like, why isn't he here? It's been a year. And God had different plans for me. I had a lot to learn and realize in my being. And a lot to accomplish, too. I think I really needed to focus on my service and my growth. Since in that 7 years, I've written 4 books, I've gotten a second master's, and I can say I successfully, with the help of God and the earth, healed a neurological disease. So I'm pretty happy that I was focused on me in the 7 years. I had some really great relationships, short ones, that were incredible teaching relationships. So I wasn't just eating bean sprouts and sitting by a tree. I was dating. I was in relationship. And again, I bring all that real-life examples into the book. So if you're listening to this radio show and it's archived, please share it with somebody. There's a lot of valuable information that I gave today, life-changing information. So please pass this on to somebody. Take that risk, right, of being someone saying no or thinking you're weird or you're pushy. Letting that love outside of you, letting your wisdom, your thoughts, helping another can be very scary for people. They don't want to bother somebody or they don't want to seem weird. You know, we have this kind of, people walk through the grocery store or walk in the world, and it's kind of like this tunnel vision when they walk. Especially they found, and they did studies on this too, you know, just studies and everything, that people do that kind of tunnel vision walking. They don't interact with people around them and say hi. Do you ever try saying hi and smiling at somebody out like in a store, in the grocery store? And I do that. And half the time people smile back and they're like, yay, thank you. It kind of opens them up. You know, they're kind of caught in their own little world. The other half the time, people are shocked. They're like, why are you smiling at me? Why are you talking to me? But they did a study about that, about people, how fast they move in that tunnel vision. And they found that the colder the climate and the closer to city, the more that happened. Do you ever notice when you go to warm climates and it's rural, people are more engaging? Now, you may just think, well, I'm on vacation, that's how it is, because, you know, us people in Michigan, we tend to go towards warm climates. But they actually did a study and found that the colder the climate and the more industrialized, there we go, the culture, that the less interaction. So if you're listening to this, please share it with somebody. Please open up your seed, express, go within, start spiritual study every day. This show counts as spiritual study. Get one of my books, Why Self-Acceptance is So Powerful, is a collection of actual sessions and transformations, potent material. Or I love The Course in Miracles. I love Marianne Williamson's work. I love, of course, Andrew Harvey, who is the sacred activist. It's an incredible model of how to bring change to the world. Very simple. Great read. If you've never heard him talk to, he's amazing. Or, of course, you can study all the other shows on Body, Mind, Spirit Radio and then meditate every day, yes? Please start meditating. It's the most important thing. Meditation has been proven can change your brain chemistry, right? So if you've been given some suggestion, and we'll call it a diagnosis, a suggestion about your mental condition, best thing you can do for yourself is meditate, friend. you need help in how to meditate, you can come out here, Calling All Leaders and Healers, Wednesday nights, second and fourth Wednesday. This coming Wednesday, tomorrow, going to have Dr. Craig Stoller. He does this amazing Atlas work because our body connection and alignment is important and how that alignment can bring more energy and light to your body. I will be teaching tomorrow about the four fundamentals of manifestation and health. The four fundamentals of manifestation and health. That workshop tomorrow is donations, suggested donations 15 to 20, and the money goes to Superhero Training Academy. It's this amazing program for kids and finding their self-worth. The workshop tomorrow will also be videotaped. That's so funny. Audio-taped? Recorded. There we go. Recorded. And will be available for purchase later on. But you're welcome to come tomorrow, 7 to 8:30, here at Accepted As I Am. And then please look for my next radio show coming up in March. Going to have an amazing guest. We will be announcing it in Body, Mind, Spirit Guide. You can also, of course, look at Body, Mind, Spirit Radio and my website as well. Again, please pass this information on. Please share this. Please let people know about this resource. We need more people. We call those in my work the client angels, ones that talk about the work and talk about how it's helping them. So please talk about this. Please let people know, not from that place of I'm trying to fix you or you need this to be whole, but hey, this helped me, this might help you, kind of a suggestion, not trying to force it down anyone's throat, right, because no one's broken. And no one really needs to be healed. We've all just forgotten what we already are. We just need reminders. There's a big difference when you offer something to somebody as a reminder or knowing they're already whole versus trying to fix them, right? Try to fix somebody to say that you're criticizing them. And rightfully so, because that's how it feels in the body and feels in the heart. All right, so we are about 44 minutes into the show, and I feel complete. But what I'd like to do to finish our time together is a short meditation. Sound good? All right, so go ahead and put your feet on the ground. Tune into the felt sense of your body. Felt sense is hot, cold, tight, relaxed, spaciousness, heavy, light, felt sense. Remembering that your spirit is not in your body. Your body is in your spirit, that you are not in your body. Your body is in you. Like a beautiful flower in the middle of a huge field of flowers, your body is that one little flower. And the field is your soul, is your energy, your being. Give yourself permission now to fully fill your space, your sovereignty, your autonomy. When you claim your space, you realize a greater connection of the interwoven, interconnected web of life. Extend now to the edges of your energy field, knowing that as you become sovereign and claim your magnificence, you realize greater oneness. That self-love plugs you into the universal love. But you have to plug in. If you don't plug in, then love or God just becomes a belief, a theory, something to argue. But extending out, loving yourself, letting it be a felt experience of your own soul. It's the difference between theorizing about water and drinking water. It's time to drink that water. It's time to feel that love in your bones, in your body, and extend it out in all directions. And when you greet people today, take a breath and extend out, knowing that as you open your heart, another principle in finding the one, that when you open your heart, you're opening to yourself, to your field. And as you take a breath and extend out and greet people today, say in your heart, the love in me bows to love in you. Namaste. And see how your day unfolds from that intention. Take a breath. All right, so join me again in March for Calling All Leaders and Healers, knowing that a leader is the greatest servant, that a healer is a tuning fork to what is possible in another, possible in the world. And we will co-create again the next level of our magnificence together. Wishing you great love and the unique expression of God I am bows to the unique expression of God in you. Many blessings.